The law was to prepare the way of the birth of Christ. Now I want to say that again. One main ministry right here of the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, as God inspired or gave revelation and inspired Moses to write exactly what God revealed to him. Again, the ministers of law was to prepare the way for the birth of Jesus Christ. And if you want to read about that, you can better understand what I'm saying here from Exodus. If you read Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and that will tell you when it was time, Christ sent his Son into this world to be the Redeemer of the world, to save us from our sins, because we all have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. So the law, Jesus said, I didn't come to the earth, I didn't come, God didn't, the Father didn't send me to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So you see how Exodus and the New Testament come together for a understanding of giving us the revelation of the law and law, but we live under what? Grace. Grace. So, looking back when this was given, I don't know if I'm going in and out, it sounds like it, on the mic, but the nation of Israel was like, I would say, immature children who needed a guardian. That's what they were. To care for them, to instruct them, and God wanted to protect them. And that's why he gave them the law. So the Jewish ceremony system is presented here in what I'll call Exodus and Leviticus, was fulfilled by Christ himself. But the moral content of God's law still remains, and 9 of the 10 commandments, okay? Now I want you to hear this. 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament epistles for the church to honor and obey. Okay? However, the Sabbath commandment isn't repeated. Why? Because we live in the New Testament age. When Christ rose on the first day of the resurrection, you know, we worship on the first Sunday of each month, which is what? Today, Sunday. And then, in the Old Testament time, they worship on the Sabbath, okay? So that's why all 9 is mentioned in the New, but the commandment about the Sabbath is not repeated in the New Testament. So that gives us a better understanding that in the New Testament, we worship on the Lord's Day. Now, while the Ten Commandments deal with our responsibilities towards God, the first 4 are particularly pointed to God. The first 4. As you read the first 4 commandments, they are directed and pointed to God. But while the last 6 are pointed to who? You and me. Mankind. So, how we relate to others depend on how we relate to God, for if we love God and obey him, we'll also love our neighbors and serve them. That's what the commandment is. Well, the first in the New Testament, the first and greatest commandment is to what? Love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the greatest, and Jesus said, the greatest second commandment is to love your brothers and sisters as yourself. So, As we look at these this morning, we're going to continue on. The Ten Commandments are the statutes of liberty. They give us the freedom of all freedoms, okay? So, all right, first of all, let's look at verse 6, the blessing upon the obedient. So if we're obedient in all of these areas that God has given us, even when you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you read about the fruit of the Spirit, which are the grace of the Spirit, these are kind of, they unite, they come together as one. So, the second commandment also includes a promise to those who obey in verse 6, all right? And I want to read that again. But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay. Now the warning is for the world and the false church. Let me say it again. The warning here is for the world and the false church. We worship God in truth and spirit. That's the true church. The false church teaches other things not relevant to God or His Word. So that's a false church. And we have those in the world. They're called cults. So the true church worships God in truth and in spirit. And the blessing is for us, the true church. Those who proclaim the only true and righteous God. And that is the God that Israelites worship. There was other false nations that worshiped idols and so forth. And those are the ones that Israel were always going up against. And sometimes they ended up in exile because they disobeyed God. But they worshiped the true and living God. Now, when we look at this verse here, to love God is to place Him first. That's what this verse is saying. We got to place Him first. We must place Him first. To obey God is to follow His direction. So, God is loyal. And when I say loyal, His love is loyal. And to those who love Him and those that show love by their obedience. Now, if you should read 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it talks about that love. God is love. God loves us and gave Himself for us. So that's a loyal love. He was loyal to us, loyal to the whole world, because John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that is one of the greatest loves that anyone can give, and God gave it. So when God loving kindness, as this verse talks about, produced through obedience, it leads to a great blessing. Aren't you blessed because you're a Christian? I am, and I know you are. We are blessed. And because of loving kindness and God's grace, that produced obedience in our lives, and that becomes a blessing not only to us, but it blesses God with our lives. So, the comforting promise is this. God will never fail to show mercy to all the successive generations. And that's talking about the generations and those generations to come, those generations to pass. We're a part of that, but we have generations to come that will follow us in our families and generations of others as well to come that accept Him for their God. And our God is an awesome God who loves and shows mercy and He shows kindness. And going back again, it's that loving kindness. He forgives us and His grace, you know, follows Him in truth. Now, there is an impressive contrast here when you look at verses 1 through 6 so far that we've studied. But I want you to see the contrast here in this verse 6. The consequences of the wicked, godless behavior is felt for a few generations. And that's what Moses is talking about here. But the influence of the devoted obedience continues to ripple out. You know, like you throw a pebble in the water. You've done that. It doesn't take a big rock. You take a little pebble and pitch it into the water, and what does it do? It just ripples, and it keeps on going. Well, that's what the ripple here is about. It ripples out to affect countless generations to come when we obey God. See, godly people bring not only blessings to their succeeding generations, they bring blessings to numerous thousands within their own generations. And we will see that to come when we're obedient to God. And the degree to which we obey the commandments, especially this second commandment right here, affects the lifelessness and health of the community and society in which we live. It does. Yeah, it's just like that ripple. You drop a pebble in and it ripples and it continues on. That's the way it is in with our obedience. And as we see our children and children's children grow up, then they became obedient because we were also, and we lead them in that direction. Now, on the other side of that, the contrast, wrong decisions or wrong choices have their consequences. For example, if we choose to live for pleasure, that will affect not only your life, but our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if you go back and you look at verses 4 and 5, that is what God directed Moses to reveal to the Israelites. Because you think about it. They wandered around in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Why? Because every day that they disobeyed God and complained, God added another year for their wandering. And that's why they was wandering 40 years. And then when they crossed the Red Sea, and then they could see over into the promised land of Canaan. And then Moses went up to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments. When he came down, then he saw what was taking place. They had made an image of a calf, a cow, and that because they desire, in our hearts, we desire to worship something. And Moses was gone so long, they had lost their hope of seeing Moses again because they thought he died up on the mountain. But he was up there along with God, and God was taking time to reveal to Moses exactly what the people needed to hear and know and understand for their well-being and for their protection and their livelihood. And yet, they ran out of patience. But God never runs out of patience. You think about that. He never runs out of patience. He's always patient. And I'm glad he's always patient with us. So when we look at that, if we walk away from God, if we walk away from God, we may discover that our children have taken the trip with us. Later, even if we return to Him, our children may not. They may not. But there is also the good news. Devotion to the Lord has its effect too. Men and women who live in faith before God have a strong influence on the children and their children's children. You know what Proverbs 22:6 says? Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that. Now that verse means that those who hold true to the Word of God and are faithful to God, they, even if they stray off a little bit or are not in a good relationship with the Lord, eventually if they have that true salvation experience, they've had that, and they believe in God's Word, and they believe that God raised, Father raised Jesus from the dead, And he reigns in heaven on at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. They know that in their heart. The scripture will hold true. They will not depart from it. So if they live a long life, and the scripture talks about that, obey your parents, because that is the will of the Lord, that you may have a long life. So if they live a long life, they can witness the effect their faith has had on several generations, on many generations. What satisfaction that brings to the older people or parents like us to see their families living for Christ. Isn't that wonderful? To see your generations of generations living for Christ. I don't know how many times I've heard my family, my grandfather and my mother say, "We're so proud of you that you chose Christ and you're living for Him." I heard that time after time after time. And people who follow Christ lead others in that right direction. So, the person who worships God has a greater impact upon people of the world. Now, some people look at it differently. They do. Non-idolaters who worship science or man's mind or the wealthy person or a politician who worship fame, power, and prosperity. But those who worship God have a greater influence and impact upon the world. You believe that? I do. We have a greater impact. And people are watching us to see how faithful and how obedient we are to the Word of God if we're walking the talk and talking the walk. So we must be always on our best behavior when we're among the world, out in the marketplaces. Even when things are not going our way, we still have to walk in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the world is watching to see what we're made out of. So when the balance are weighed in eternity, the person who worship God have affected more of his own in the following generation than those who worship creation itself. And we have a world people who worship creation rather than the true living God who made all things. He created all things. Now, when I was reading and studying in the New Testament on this very topic, on this very subject, I find that Paul affected and is still affecting more generations than any and all of the great of the Caesars of Rome. Because he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," because it has a power of regeneration and to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I am not ashamed. You can put me in jail, you can hang me upside down, put me on a cross, but I am not ashamed of the gospel." And when I see that and the impact, it still goes on from generations to generations, and it's much greater than the Caesars of Rome and the impact that they had on the world. You think about that for a moment, and you understand what I'm talking about. When it comes to the Christian, has a greater impact on this world than anyone else. So when within any generation hating God, a hating of God ends, when children forsake their father's way, the ways that they have been modeled and have been brought up, then the heat of what I would call divine anger is turned into the heat of God's divine love. It really is, because God loves them. And he shows mercy, and it touches many generations. And that's why God's mercies run in the streams of full and fresh and free forever. That means he never gives up on us. Sometimes we give up easily, but God never gives up. And that's why his mercies run deep like streams of waters, and it's always fresh, and it runs forever, and it will run forever. Ronald Reagan, you remember him as our president. And I was thinking about, as I was studying this, one of the quotes that he made back in October 27, 1964. He wasn't even president yet. And he made this statement. It's years before he even became our president. He made this quote at the Republican National Convention. He said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." And that's true. And he said that back in 1964. And as we see prophecy being fulfilled before us, we can see that gradually moving in that direction. And we as believers in Jesus Christ, that's our responsibility to heed to what Moses was directed by God to generations to come, that we are to be obedient and faithful in all of the areas of our true allegiance to God. This commandment here, this second commandment. And the rest of this quote would be, we didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or one day, we will be spending our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. You understand that? We have a responsibility, awesome responsibility, to uphold what the scriptures is telling us and warning us about if we are not faithful in teaching our generations of children and the children's children to come, the freedom that we have here in the United States, the freedom of liberty. And that is directed right here in the Ten Commandments. But it's a carryover into what we do from day to day as we come together to worship and as we come together to study the Word of God, to carry on and be faithful ourselves so our generations of children will see, yes, that is really, really important. All right, in closing this morning, false idols are not only made of wood and stone, they can be formed in our minds. And whenever God is defined or worshiped according to the state of our imagination or in our minds, what happens? What's going on? Well, we concentrate or depend on too much on them for identity, meaning, and security. That's what's happening. When we should be looking to God, the author and finisher of our faith. No one sets out, I don't think, intentionally, of making idols of these things that I just mentioned, wood, stone, stubble, whatever those things are, prestige, fame, whatever. But as we devote more time and attention to them, they can grow into gods and ultimately focus our thoughts and our energies on them. That's what can happen. So, what can we do? What can we do? Letting God hold the central place in our lives keeps these things from slowly separating us from God and turning those things into idols. God has to be the central part of our life. Those are good commandments, right? Those are solid commandments. Those are the commandments that tells us about the freedom that we have, that God has given us. And thank God we live in the United States, where we are able to practice the things that the Scripture gives us, and we should never take them for granted. The Israelites, you know, bless their hearts, and all of those in the Old Testament that strayed away from God from time to time. Even the kings and the rulers that God put in great places to lead often failed. But as Proverbs 22:6 says, it was in their heart and they returned and God forgave them. And God will forgive us. We the people here in the United States. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, you know, if we would turn away from our wicked ways and we will be forgiven of our sins and our nation will be healed. You know, these are great truths for us to follow, great truths to pass on to generations. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the messages you give us that are written in stone, but yet we see them here in the pages of our Holy Bible. Lord, we thank you that we live in a great nation, the United States. And Lord, as Christians and churches and communities who uphold the beliefs and truths of your word, and as we see upcoming generations and families not a part of the church, not a part of what you have entrusted in us, Lord, help us to pass it on. As we sang this morning, we need to pass it on. It's our responsibility. And the blessings comes through obedience. And when we're obedient, Lord, you're obedient to answer our prayers and continue to lead us in the paths of righteousness. As we sing our final song this morning, Lord, may we each and every one examine our hearts. May we know that it is your Spirit who speaks to us the truth, and we respond to it, and we make decisions upon that. We praise and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand, and we're going to sing our final song, Trusting Jesus. You come and sing. If God is leading you to make a decision this morning, you come. Be faithful in that. Be obedient. And you'll receive that special blessing. Thank you. you again for being here today, and don't forget about tomorrow evening at 5, there'll be trustees meeting, and then at 6 will be the advisory.
That's
and
the next week.
Huh?
The following week.
Oh, the following week. What? I'm ahead.
Not tomorrow.
Following week. I'm jumping the gun. Okay. Yeah. I'm always already into the next week, and it's not even here yet. Okay. Hey, thanks for reading the bulletin and listening to what Bud said this morning. All right.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
I forgot with all my craziness this morning to add Ray Jean Nealis to the prayer list. She found out this week she has stage 3 breast cancer. I grew up with her in church at Holton, and she was a teacher once at South Ripley. She's a year older than me, so she starts treatments right away.
Okay, her name again?
Ray Jean Nealis, and I'll tell Carol.
Ray Jean
Nealis.
Nealis, okay. All right. Keep her in your prayers. All right. Dennis Swanholt, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father God, we give you thanks for, first and foremost, that you are the great I Am, for sending your son Jesus to earth to fulfill your mission to save us from our sins. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that were spoken from the pulpit this day, the songs that we're singing, praise of your holy name, Father. As we prepare to leave this building this day, Father, we pray that we would take the Spirit with us, that we would give more of ourselves to the Spirit, that we would seek your spiritual wisdom, Father, and endure to love you more and be more obedient and to love our brothers and sisters. Keep us safe, guide and direct us. I pray this through your Son, Jesus.